You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We are sponsored this morning in the news by Piazza Auto Group. And we'll talk about back to school in a moment. But first, we do have a breaking news story developing with Philadelphia police investigating four people shot in West Philadelphia. So on the scene of that one. And as we talk about back to school, Temple University police say they're investigating this series of crimes whereby students have been attacked or robbed, Temple students attacked or robbed in Philadelphia. And this is, you know, first-year students this week at Nick Cale's alma mater, obviously, first-year students arriving for the new semester. So it's a welcome back week. They're moving in. And, hey, welcome to Philadelphia.
Yeah, now give me your binders and highlighters or nobody gets hurt. What a charade.
So they're tracking all of these. There was one 11th and Montgomery Avenue. This really started with this week, the first one on Monday, and then pretty much every day we've had scores of these where there were attacks, Broad and Cecil B. Moore, the subway station, so in and around Philadelphia. But they're putting out the warning. Temple and Philadelphia police say they're working together, and they did arrest three individuals, but they still, the three may not be responsible for all of these happening.
Okay.
And so it's kind of open season as university police are also saying they're coming up with multiple precautions, including the use of license plate reading camera technology, expanding investigations, its special unit, as well as some major upgrades to their campus dispatch system.
Okay.
So we don't have serious injuries of any of the students, but many of them rattled, shaken up because they're not, let's say, street smart or city smart. They're not from here.
Of course not. Especially the freshmen, right? First time on campus. If I was holding freshman orientation down at Temple on North Broad, I would say, just don't venture off campus. All right? Just stay in your little confines.
Yes. We've just a couple of follow-ups as we talk about back to school news. Parents have been outraged in New Jersey, in South Jersey. Their school leaders proposed cutting what they called complimentary bus services. And so there's still one grade school that's dealing with this. And this was an interim superintendent in South Jersey who had proposed the discontinuing of these, what they're calling courtesy bus services for elementary school services. And so this was another one last night. This is Delanco Township, Burlington County. We've talked about other school districts across the region, one of which in South Jersey had rescinded that after being blasted by parents. But in this one, what they're saying, and this is an interim superintendent, Leonard Fitz, says, we don't have bus drivers.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I know of a few that could actually swing by and start helping if they're in the business of looking for more work.
My foot's going to be so far up your it's going to dangle at your damn nose.
We're going to bring our lady from Ohio back.
Hey, she's available.
She's available.
So these parents meeting last night at this meeting, really furious because this in particular is an elementary school. And so they were saying, if you live within 2 miles, you're going to walk to school.
This is almost a carbon copy paste job of the story from a few weeks ago.
Yes. But in this case, in the other one, they weren't necessarily citing that they don't have a school bus driver. They were trying to save money. And this one, they're saying, we just don't have the bus driver. We're looking for someone.
Wow. Well, they might have to up the incentives to get people to actually do that thankless job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem. It's like defund the bus driver. A lot of bus drivers were fired or censured because maybe they didn't follow protocols or this sort of thing. And so they're trying to deal with it. These parents are furious, though, saying in many cases, you know, to have a 6-, 7-year-old, 8-year-old child walking 2 miles.
Oh, no, it's outrageous.
They don't have the sidewalks.
Yeah,
they, it's not a clear shot.
No.
So we've got that one going on. I'll headline another one for you, and that is that in Lower Marion, we talked about this last year, they are instituting starting an hour later for the high school. And so the issue here for they're saying is they're warning everybody that, you know what, we have a lot of students and the bus is running an hour later. That may disrupt your work schedule. That may disrupt your morning commute, because you're thinking that you're going to work at 9 and most students maybe are in school by 8, not so much anymore.
Oh boy.
And then some parents are not happy with it because of sports scheduling, that now this throws that off because not everybody they're playing or facing also has that same delayed schedule.
Was it always this complicated?
No.
I swear, like, I hate to be the guy, well, back in my day, but like, I got up, I went to school, I got home from school, I did my thing. Like, now we've got all these little, you know, well, you don't have bus drivers and you can't walk this far. The whole thing is just absurd. Let's not overcomplicate things like going to school and go to work, folks. I mean, it's just annoying at this point.
Amen, brother. We in our region are making international headlines with this warning about, and I always think of that Chris Rock bit about Tiger is going to go tiger. This is really what you would say. It's a startling video, let's just say, of this woman who goes to the zoo and sticks her hand in the tiger cage in New Jersey. They put this out because they want to find this woman. There were people who were recording this is a 500-pound Bengal tiger that this woman sticks her hand through the fence. She jumped the outer perimeter fence, then goes very close, tries to touch this 500-pound kitty, Bengal tiger,
mm-hmm.
nearly bites her.
Mm-hmm.
And police have released the video. It's quite disturbing. But this is the Cohansic Zoo in New Jersey. Police releasing this, putting this out there, Bridgeton Police Department, and they're saying, we want to find this woman.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for anybody that gets injured going into a blocked-off area with wild animals. Like, if that lady would have got shredded, serves her right.
But you know what the problem is, Nick? And the police address that. They said, and we've seen this in past cases, if this tiger, let's say, grabbed the woman and then had her arm in its jaws,
mm-hmm.
they would be forced to euthanize the tiger.
Which is terrible. Which is awful. It's absolutely awful. It's just like, you know, like showing up at somebody else's front door and coming in their house. Like, I'm sorry, you walked into my house. I shot you. You shouldn't have walked in, you know?
So do you think they would change the protocols? Like, put up a sign and
yeah.
say, hey,
why does that tiger have to be put down because some dope wanted to go viral on social media? Look at me, I jumped the fence. You come into my turf, the rules get thrown out the window.
I love it.
That's the way I view it.
Well, we are sponsored this morning. There's so much going on, and I'm not touching all. There's so much that Nick Hale's going to get to, and we're going to get to with, you know, what Trump did. Actions speak louder than words last night at the DNC. But we are sponsored by the Piazza Auto Group Acura Summer Performance event. It's happening now at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, as well as Westchester. Get financing as low as 2.9% for 48 months on the all-electric ZDX. Just shop online, piazzaacura.com. Macy's sponsoring our weather and sports. Phillies, Braves in Atlanta.
Wow.
Woohoo!
Amazing.
No sweep.
3-2.
Yeah. I was wrong. No sweep.
You were wrong.
I'm so glad on this one, I'm glad you were wrong.
By the way, because of your shaved look, Mike Carr on the YouTube chat says, get off the screen, Nick. You're freaking me out.
I agree.
Really?
I should go audio only today. I'm going to work remotely for a while.
Maybe put a bag on your head.
Paper or plastic, your call.
Not nice. He looks very clean cut and smooth and shiny.
Yeah.
Greg's not liking it.
No, he's not.
We are at 60 degrees right now, headed up to heating up to, as we're sponsored by Macy's for back to school forecast. 60 degrees right now, heating up to 78 degrees as that cool fall weather we've been enjoying. Now we're headed back to, you know, August weather. So 78 bright sunny skies today, 82 tomorrow, beautiful Friday for you tomorrow. And then for your weekend, we're looking to the mid 80s, Saturday, 85 degrees, clouds, but and sun, no major precipitation in the forecast. Sunday is the sunnier day with total sunshine, 87 degrees. And then into your Monday, we may see some showers, but 88 degrees. So next week, we return to the higher 80s, but we're still in this beautiful weather pattern for sure. And Macy's sponsoring our weather and sports, our Phil's win against the Braves. It's Macy's ultimate shopping event with an extra 25% off designers, which rarely go on sale. This is one of my favorite sales of the year. 15% off beauty, too. That's unheard of. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions do apply. Check it out. Macy's ultimate shopping event. Thank you, Macy's, for sponsoring our sports, Phil's weather, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:15 Thursday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The big take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Wawa, day three at the DNC. Wednesday in Chicago, it was all about two men who make you cringe. Bill Clinton and Tim, lies so high you can build multiple walls. Every time I see him and I hear him, the word that comes to mind for me is tool. That's how I would describe Kamala Harris's vice president nominee, except he doesn't have a TV show featuring Home Improvement and Al Borland as his sidekick. Not a partisan attack from yours truly. Take my word for it because I'm not alone. How about Axios, of all places, illustrating how Timmy's mouth has been getting him in trouble for many years? Axios with this headline, quote, Tim Walz' words have been getting him in trouble for years. So let's go inside of Walz's gaffe factory, shall we? But before we get to his words, we have to physically get there, right? So let's jog it out as Richard Simmons would. Take a look at this side by side. Listen and watch this.
Tim Walz!
Look at this. Tim Walz. Modern day Richard Simmons. Yeah, baby. Got to do that stretching before you take the stage, right, Timmy? In the world of Walz's words, I think words like weird or cringe are applicable. And what in the world was that? You would have thought he was coming out as a guest on the Ellen DeGeneres show. All right, back to words. Axios writes, to close observers back home, his tendency to misspeak or make inaccurate or inconsistent public comments may sound familiar. Jeez, that sounds eerily similar to Joe Biden. Maybe Kamala Harris at this point in her career just likes to be surrounded by old-looking white guys who always lie. But here's a really obscure, unknown selection. That's really what Tim Walz is, who in just a few months has had largely nothing but negative coverage, and rightfully so. According to an Associated Press poll, 4 out of 10 Americans don't know enough about Walz to form an opinion on the Minnesota governor. Meanwhile, the same goes for J.D. Vance, as 3 in 10 do not know enough about the Ohio senator. However, for some reason, Walz has a 36% favorability rating compared to J.D. Vance's 27%. Uninformed, unknown, it's just the way the Democrats like it, and it's exactly the playbook that the Democrat Party is installing with their voting base. Dem voters don't know hardly a thing about Tim Walz. They don't even know much about Kamala Harris. That's why it's up to Trump and Vance to expose them for what they are. Trump and Vance need to define Harris and Walz. And how do you do it? How about this for a crafty political tactic yesterday? Since Kamala Harris's official campaign doesn't have a single policy listed on their website, in the world of technology and trolling, you can define their policies for the American public. It's exactly what the Trump campaign has done. Trump staff has created Kamala2024policies.com to lay out her platform for voters. The homepage saying, quote, Kamala Harris's dangerous policies are nothing to laugh about. And on the main page, if you visit Kamala2024policies.com, you'll see 9 different drop-down boxes with a variety of policies ranging from fighting to set murderers free, to abolish borders, to Bidenomics working. If Harris and Walz won't define their vision, let their track records speak for itself. We know Tim Walz is a liar. He's a coward for bailing on his country at a time of war to enter into politics and take the easy way out instead of taking the battlefield. But firsthand information and a firsthand account always lands with people. Here's Major Tom Behrens on the Dom Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, describing in detail how Walz took the easy way out over 20 years ago. Listen and watch this.
Well, I think what he did is, and I've had other soldiers say that you know, they were at battalion when he quit. And I was up at DeVardy. I was in Division Artillery. You know, after he quit, I got the call and I went in his place. But you know, when he quit, you know, he basically, I think he snuck out or slithered out the door and tried to just allow the paperwork to maybe catch up with him and maybe not. Because I mean, if I would have done what he did and I said, well, you know, I'm quitting, I'm not going to Iraq, I don't like Bush's war and whatever, that's what I'm going to do, I'd have went into the office and I'd have said, you know, my paperwork needs to state that I need to be reduced to master sergeant. I want that filled out so I can sign it and be done. You know, and he basically snuck out. You know, he ended up with an honorable discharge, which I question whether he even should have got it, because he should have had repercussions, I think, for doing what he did. I mean, he was a political activist back then. He campaigned for Kerry. He was actually worked for the Kerry campaign when he, you know, I'm pretty damn sure he shouldn't have done that, and he should have been reprimanded for it. But I think he just left with all that, hoping it wasn't going to catch him. And then the state of Minnesota caught it, and they reduced him to E8 that fall. But, you know, the soldier was not available for signature because he wasn't a soldier anymore.
Does that sound like a man who will be second in command, who will stand tall against China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and other evil nations, as we are on the precipice of a powder keg exploding and World War III happening? One patriot who actually was deployed and served right around the same time that Timmy tucked his tail between his legs is Tulsi Gabbard. She has recently joined Donald Trump to help prep him for debate time with Kamala. And she had this to say about Kamala Harris on Fox News. Listen and watch.
Really, Jesse, it was exposing her for her hypocrisy. She is a typical politician who will say one thing and do another. Rules for thee, but not for me. And that's a reflection of exactly how she is going through this debate prep. She's got her pollsters surrounding her. They're telling her word for word exactly the things that she needs to say, the lines she needs to memorize so that she can act and put on a big show in this debate. And it's such a huge contrast. You know, you saw once she was confronted and challenged a little bit on her hypocrisy, she didn't respond very well. And I think that points to the big contrast that the American people will see in this upcoming debate. President Trump is real. He is not a politician by any means. I don't think we want another typical politician who is choosing their every word very carefully. He's a real person, a strong leader, a strong debater who has strong views on issues. And you don't have to guess where he stands on those issues, and you don't have to guess about what he will do, because he's got 4 years of a record to stand on of success.
And one of those records to stand on, one of those victories, was the economy. The Trump economy to the Biden-Harris economy is like Mercedes-Benz to Subaru. No disrespect to Subaru, but it's just no contest. And speaking of the economy and how fake it is, let's check in on the latest revision to the fake economy of the Biden-Harris administration. Here was some breaking news yesterday with the jobs report on Wednesday. Listen and watch this gem.
This is a huge revision down, 818,000 fewer jobs. This is basically the government's overstated the amount of people in the workforce. And even when you look under this, manufacturing was down 115,000 people. So this is a revision down, a significant revision down, the largest in 15 years that we've seen. And it basically says that the government has now overstated the amount of people who are working in this workforce. It shows weakness in the job markets over the past year that we didn't realize was there, but now we know is there. So again, 818,000 overall jobs down, manufacturing down 115,000 in this. And if you just wrote construction down 45,000. So these numbers are huge numbers in revisions down.
as artificial as Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. But let's get to night number three of the DNC. First up, we had Bill Clinton. Here was the 42nd president of the United States. Listen and watch this gem from late last night.
Now let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
I am too old to gild the lily. 2 days ago, I turned 78, the oldest man in my family for four generations. And the only personal vanity I want to assert is I'm still younger than Donald Trump.
Didn't I tell you that they would try talking about age now? Remember, age was not an issue when Joe was in until it became an issue. And now Kamala's 18 years younger than Trump, and they're going to try to hammer home those points. And Bill Clinton is a few days younger than Donald Trump. But by the way, if you want to compare age, you look at Clinton, he looks and sounds like a corpse who has cheated death five times. I know he's had health issues, but let's not compare 78-year-olds, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. If Clinton's 78, I would look at Trump and say he's more like 68. And we know Clinton's track record of personal judgment and morality outside of his 8 years on policy. But let me ask you this. The Democrats try to be the party of decency in their battle against Donald Trump, yet you trot this creep out. We know the history of proven immorality. We know the allegations of a certain island. And they want to lecture you on Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels. If there's one man that Hillary probably hates more than Trump, it's her husband. Just my personal opinion. And lastly, the main eventer, the St. Paul Simmons of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Go ahead, buddy. Time's yours. Listen and watch this one.
They'll start jacking up the costs on the middle class. They'll repeal the Affordable Care Act. They'll gut Social Security and Medicare. And they will ban abortion across this country, with or without Congress.
Lies, lies, and more lies, and more IVF lies. We'll get to that coming up at 6:30. But, sir, I would respectfully disagree. The middle class is no more because of Bidenomics, because of inflation, and because of what Joe and Kamala have done for 3 years and 9.5 months. And speaking of Kamala, tonight is the headliner, the main event, Kamala Harris. All the white liberal women will be clapping and hooting and hollering. They'll be waving their signs. They don't know anything about her. And if they do, they didn't like her for 3.5 years. Now all of a sudden they're reinvigorated. That's fine, because the honeymoon is about to end. The DNC closes tonight. And then the real fight begins. Debates, policies, no hiding. The betting market has shifted in favor of Trump by 4 or 5 points. The polls remain basically a coin flip. If you're Trump, you just continue to refine yourself while defining your opponent. It's your best path forward. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Sponsored this morning by Wawa. They have Southwest flavors like the roasted chicken fajita veggie quesadilla or the beef steak burrito with salsa roja. Try a burrito, bowl, or quesadilla and build it just how you like it. Gotta have a Wawa. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Full reaction, your thoughts and comments from day number three of the DNC, and more lies from IVF Timmy on the other side. But no lies about Piazza, just straight facts. I think Piazza Mazda in Westchester, the best bang for your buck these days. We're talking about the 2024 Mazda CX-30. The dynamic CX-30 offers 8 different trim levels, creating a perfect fit for every lifestyle. When it comes to performance, iActive all-wheel drive is standard, and the available turbocharged engine packs a surprising punch. Safety features such as blind spot monitoring and lane assist get it a 5-star overall safety rating. Visit Piazza Mazda in Westchester, Reading, or online right now. Do it during the break. PiazzaMazda.com. If you stop out in person, tell them Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
There was nothing about last night that was any different than Tuesday or Monday. And that's my takeaway so far through three nights of this facade. It's 3 nights in. They haven't talked policy at all. It's just talking about Trump. It's about hope. It's about joy. It's about change. It's about all this fluff that if you were running for class president in the seventh grade, you'd be talking about all this inconsequential hogwash that doesn't matter. But this is like real life. These are adults, 18 plus, that are able to vote, some of them illegally. And you have all this nonsense going on for the third straight night in the United Center in Chicago. And everybody just eats it up. They eat it up. They eat it up. I actually flipped over and watched a little of the post-debate coverage last night. Scott Jennings, I get it, Republican, but he's the lone wolf basically on the set for CNN. And he said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, what did we just watch last night? What did we just sit through for 5 hours? Dawn, there was zero substance. It's just filler and fluff.
It's so, you're exactly right. And that's by design, of course. I'm glad that you, because the first two nights I did, I stayed up late and watched the whole thing. Last night I fell asleep, I think during Shapiro. I think I got through most of his stuff and then I fell asleep. And then I woke up and it was Gutfeld with playing some YouTuber or whatever that interviewed Trump and they were talking about cocaine, and I thought I was sleeping.
Yeah, it's Theo Von podcast. Like, yeah. Yep.
And I was like, what is this? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not dreaming. This is actual. But I did. I fell asleep. I just was. And that's just it. If you did fall asleep, you really didn't miss it.
No, you didn't. Actually, the most action, honestly, of all 3 days, the last 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, has been what's going on in the news cycle leading up to the main event each night. Which yesterday, and we'll get to Tim Walz and another IVF lie in just a moment, but the jobs report yesterday, which is something I wanted to highlight in the big take. I mean, they overinflated the jobs by almost a million.
It was a little mistake, Nick.
Was it 818,000?
I mean,
and the jobs that they are reporting, I believe, are mostly COVID bounce back jobs, jobs that were eliminated over the last 3.5-4 years. They are also jobs that have gone to illegal immigrants. And you have a lot of people that are struggling to find work because they've been kicked to the curb for lower income salaries by people that are willing to bust their you know what for a cheaper rate. So this, again, we talk about the stock market. We talk about the economy. Dawn, it's all artificial. And the worst part is there was somebody from Biden's Commerce Department yesterday that was trying to say, no, Trump is out there saying this. I'm like, no, your own department is fact-checking and correcting you, lady. It ain't Trump.
And that's just it. How do you not know that and know that it's coming? And so for people within this administration, first of all, to not be ready with an answer and just lie and say, well, I'm not familiar with that. Well, then that's a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
If that statement was true, number one. But number two, how do you come out with that big review? And it came out between 10 and 10:30 yesterday morning. So I did report it as they were reporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are government, Labor Department. And this is not a political situation at all. It's a revision. Who gets fired?
I know. How does this happen all the time?
If you're in any other job and you mess up with that kind of that's a huge. At first, they were thinking it was a million. And then they came back with more than 3/4 of a million. But who gets fired and how do you not make a major announcement that this is not acceptable? This will not happen again because it affects trust. We already have all the questioning of our. So, our institutions, from the media to the government, post-pandemic, to your point, Nick, it's just,
There's no accountability. No. Nobody ever has their feet held to the fire. I mean, 818,000 jobs, that would be like Stocker getting ratings and revenue in a quarterly report to the bosses at Odyssey. Cataclysmically wrong. And he's just like, oh, well, I'm sorry, my bad. Yeah, it slipped through the cracks. Like, I'm sure he would have his feet held to the fire.
Remember when I said yesterday that 250,000 people listened to our stream in the month of July? Sorry, guys, I got that wrong. It was actually just 250.
So, not 250,000.
No, it was just 250.
Just a flat 250 people.
Just 250 people. So, sorry, I kind of got that wrong by 1,000.
But seriously, think about, even Obama mentioned it. People always talk about, Trump loves to exaggerate crowd size.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're listening right now and you're one of those people who says, yeah, Trump loves to exaggerate size, which, by the way, that's a guy thing. Okay.
That's not 21st century masculinity.
And so whatever, there's no consequence to somebody, to anybody, as far as on a personal level, making an aside about a crowd size.
Yeah.
There's no consequence. So why isn't everybody talking about this? To your point, you guys, how is it that they released this? Back in April, March, April.
Mm-hmm.
And the allegation here is at some point they knew that they were exaggerating this and they were just hoping that nobody would really realize it until after November 5th. Isn't that election interference of some sort?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm just thinking, where's the committee, like January 6th committee people? Where's the committee looking into this? Because this is impacting consumer confidence. It's impacting our markets. This has tangible results in a negative way now.
Sure. Absolutely right. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Now let's get back to the headliner from last night, Tim Walz, who once again lies, despite his own wife basically fact-checking him and the New York Times and CNN, and he peddled out this lie yet again despite being slammed and dunked on for the last 24 to 36 hours about IVF lies. This is K3, Tim Walz on the big stage at the DNC last night. Listen and watch this.
We've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business. And that includes IVF and fertility treatments. And this is personal for Gwen and I. If you've never experienced the hell that is infertility, I guarantee you, you know somebody who has. And I can remember praying each night for a phone call. The pit in your stomach when the phone had rang, and the absolute agony when we heard the treatments hadn't worked. It took Gwen and I years, but we had access to fertility treatments. And when our daughter was born, we named her Hope. Hope, Gus, and Gwen, you are my entire world, and I love you.
Personal.
I'm letting you in.
First of all, if you guys don't think that resonates with people, you're insane.
Oh, no, I totally resonates. Oh, I'm not disputing that. I'm just disputing the fact that he basically, number one, that is a complete, he's totally memorized that speech. That is, now I played you that in Wednesday's Big Take from Tim Walz's Tuesday, whatever gathering or wherever I found that audio from. It is literally verbatim the same story, the same verbiage, but most importantly, again, it's the same lie. I don't dispute whether or not that resonates with women and people across the country in the pro-choice community and people that are, you know, having fertility issues. But we just went through an entire news cycle where this was exposed as a lie. They did not use IVF. And he goes out there and rebroadcasts the same lie.
All right, let me say one thing. I'm not defending Tim Walz, but if the Trump campaign and conservative media is playing this up, they're going to lose.
Well, no,
because it is.
No, I'm not saying conservative media is playing up. This was the mainstream media.
I understand what you're saying. If media plays this up, they're going to lose because he didn't. I mean, they still went through fertility treatment.
Yes.
It just wasn't IVF.
Correct. And look, I mean, in all honesty, if I was, you know, the husband or father that had to be on the half of the receiving end of going through that, I would totally botch the three letters. I might call it VIF, VWA. You know me, I get everything wrong like that. But I mean, this is, and it's not just this lie, it's the totality of his lies.
I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just telling you how this one plays. The drunk driving thing I said I think was horrendous.
Yeah.
They should have stuck with that more.
Yes.
This
because
is
the
not,
drunk driving he
yes.
blamed his military
100%,
alleged 100%. Service of in combat.
That was the winning that was the winning message to stick on. This
sure.
is not. Because this morning, starting at 7 o'clock, all of the newscasts are gonna be playing his son crying and that is going to pull at the heartstrings of every woman in this country.
Dawn, your thoughts as a female with this whole IVF and everything that's going on here with fertility and everything?
First and foremost, Nick say that he would. So I, in television, worked with a sports guy who one time his IFB, which is your earpiece, and he mistakenly, much like I could see Nick doing this in sports, and he goes, oh, excuse me, my IUD is problems.
My DWI.
We never let him live it down. But here's the here's the thing. For anybody who's been through all these procedures, they went through artificial insemination, which is totally different than IVF. So anybody who knows anything about that, what you actually think about him, the fact that he said IVF, is that he didn't really know, because all he had, I mean, no disrespect here, but what he did was they give you a magazine and he went in and
filled up a cup and gave the sample
and
to
then
the,
gives yeah. the sample and yeah, it's pretty it. Much the wife has to go through shots and right. all that stuff.
Yeah, I know people that have had to go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So so he got it wrong, which to me tells me, and I think he genuinely got it wrong about saying IVF, because he wasn't as involved as he's claiming. So to me personally, I have my own thoughts about that, because I think he's somebody much like allowing his fellow, you know, National Guardsmen mm-hmm. to actually go to combat. And we know the 19-year-old who was killed, and that mom and his fellow, you know, former military members critiquing him and ripping him. It, to me personally, the pattern is, you know, dude, your wife did everything and you're trying to make it about you and your mm-hmm. emotion and bring yourself into it. It was your wife.
Yeah.
And just like with the stolen valor, it's to me a pattern of stolen valor, because it's all about me and I'm going to dance on a stage like a dead 80s fitness guru. So it says a lot to me personally, but Greg is exactly right mm-hmm. that because fertility treatments in general add emotion. His kids are stinking adorable. His wife is adorable.
He named his boy Gus.
Yeah, but I like Gus. That. It's sweet. Yeah. The kids are adorable. The wife is adorable.
Hope is a cute name. Gwen's a pretty name. And then you got a kid named Gus.
I like Gus. Mm.
It's low energy.
Yeah, get off bus, Gus.
Yeah, it is a little low energy.
It is so, not. Leave the kids out of it. It's not the kids. It's not the wife, which is to Greg's point that they should stick with the DUI is more concerning.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because Greg said, you know, and I agree that this, you know, the IVF fertility stuff might not resonate, might not play. It's a poor strategy.
As we're talking about it, Channel 10 literally playing that exact thing.
Yeah. So okay.
I'm just telling
everybody's
you,
playing
this
it.
Is just, this
oh, you've got it pegged how the media is going to cover
this is,
it.
This totally. Is going to be the yep. spin today, and it plays. Well, then, plays very well.
Here's the million dollar question.
Yeah, they hit a home run last night. They hit a home run last night.
Like, so what will play, because we've heard, and I agree with this. I don't think, I mean, obviously, yes, in the military community, it plays big time. But the younger crowd, not necessarily really interested in military and war and stolen valor. So that won't work, right? IVF and fertility. You can't attack Kamala for this. You can't criticize her for that. So basically, everything that is valid to pick apart the Democrats, Republicans can't do, because it, quote, won't play. So what does play? So what should Republicans do? Because, and you can hit me with the stock answer of economy, border, and wars and crime. Okay, well, how's that working in the polls? Because Trump is, you know, basically tied in the polls. You can hammer home policy after policy after. So basically, you know what I feel like? I feel defeated today, because everything is either off limits or won't resonate won't play. So what should we do then?
What we should do is,
you know, Kamala, you win. You're right. I can't criticize you. I'm going to go home. I won't even vote this year. I mean, seriously, like, I'm just saying, it's obviously embellishing and tongue in cheek. But what can penetrate the Democrat insular bubble of protection?
Pop the bubble.
Like Dr. Pimple Popper.
That's right. Dr. Pimple Popper. Pop the bubble by talking about, look at their actions and then look at their lies and their words. Look at his actions. Somebody says, you mind your own business.
Yeah, what is
he's the guy who created the snitch line.
Okay.
He's watch his actions. He's the guy who wanted to run on, for his partisan political career, he wanted to be able to run on the fact that he was a combat veteran, but he never was. He's the guy who wants to claim that, you know, he in his own campaign releasing those statements, and as Greg pointed out earlier this week, the campaign, this is not some huge, vast national campaign. And Greg had, nobody said this, and I love that you said this, Greg, earlier in the week, about the fact that This was a tiny local campaign that he was running.
Yeah, it was probably seven people, literally seven people, and nothing would have gone on in that campaign without his knowledge.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he was 100% involved in covering up and lying about that DUI, which is far more, far more egregious to me. And I think would resonate more with the American people than you know, him getting IVF wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that, you know, it's not like his, he didn't go through it. He did. He just got the terminology wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just don't think that, that is a, you know, if the Republicans are talking about that stuff, it's a losing message. But Nick, to your point, you are right. Because now all of a sudden the media has deemed everything off limits.
Everything's either off limits or doesn't work. So what do you do?
But I think that to make him the butt of every joke.
Yeah.
That when somebody, you know, something happens, it's like, oh no, that happened to me. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get up there and say he personally had IVF because men can be pregnant.
I also think that they need to ignore Tim Walz and concentrate on Kamala. Yeah.
I totally agree. He is so inconsequential. He's exactly. So unimpressive. Like, yeah, you can expose him for his lies. It's just, it's frustrating. And that was my, I was saying this to my wife last night at like 10:30 as I'm watching it, and she's just zoning out on her phone because she hates all this stuff. And I'm just like,
woman.
I'm like, so basically everything's in play when you can attack. I mean, Trump could fart and he could be indicted, yet 80% of what you can attack Harris and Walz on either doesn't resonate, doesn't land, or is off limits, or it's bullying, or it's, well, she's a female. I'm thinking, like, and I said this to my wife, you know, politics is dirty. It's grimy. You want to just take a shower after. That's why I shower after every show. I feel disgusting just talking about some of this. That, and I sweat a lot anyway. Because the lights in here are very bright. But, like, you know, I'm sorry. It's the same thing with when I mentioned about Mina Kimes from ESPN talking about Tim Walz's masculinity. No, I'm sorry, Mina Kimes. You don't get to claim you're under attack because you delved into politics. So when you open up yourself for those, I mean, you should look at my Twitter mentions some days. I get people that criticize me and attack me all the time. I don't sit here and cry about it and whine about it. It comes with the territory. I'm sorry. Kamala is running for the most powerful position in the world, and a lot of this stuff should be on the table, and the media tells you basically what's off limits and what's not after 9 years of going after Trump, right? Like, I mean, you know, Trump was seen with the MyPillow guy. Like, oh, my God. Like, does that really matter?
Let me ask you guys a question, and maybe we can get into this in the 7 o'clock hour, because I know we have to break. But do you think that these conventions, we know, as people who follow this all the time, are worthless? They're just a giant show.
Yeah, it's a production.
It's a production. But for the average person watching at home, who may not watch it, just sees clips on the morning shows or whatever, it looks like a giant party.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what everybody, you know what social media has taught me? Everybody wants to be included in something.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be part of the in crowd. Everybody wants to be a part of the next big thing. Does this look like a party that people are like, hey, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Look at them dancing around. Look at them having fun. You know what I mean? Like, that's all social media is. It's a bunch of people who lie about how fun their life is.
Right, right.
That's basically what the DNC
is. That's a great point.
It's a bunch of people, politicians, who are not cool, whose sole job is to F up your life, say, hey, look at us. We're fun. We're cool.
Right.
Come have a party with us.
Right.
And the American people, I think, you know, if social media teaches you anything, they buy it.
It's interesting because both sides, RNC and DNC, have tried to throw, you know, this vibe of, you know, I compared Thursday of the RNC to Woodstock. Of course, I was embellishing, but it was an energetic thing. Same thing with the DNC. There's juice in that building, despite what anybody's willing to say or admit. There's a lot of energy there. It is an interesting comparison. But let me ask you this: for the casual person, do you think the casual person is staying up and both sides, by the way, to watch the main event? At 11 o'clock at night?
20 million people watched over all the networks, not including streaming for two nights. When you think about that number, it's minuscule.
It's minuscule. Compared to the population. I'd love to see how it dwindles as time goes on throughout the night, too.
Which means more people are watching online or clips or watching on these cable news shows, which proves my point that, you know, if people see this and they're like, I want to be a part of that party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 855-839-1210. Dawn with some news to kick off hour number two. And then the big news from yesterday. Will Trump get a bump from Bobby? Kennedy set to split on Friday. Where will he land? And will he have an impact? Back after this on Kale and Company.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.